In your packet with all your songs this morning are the verses we're going to be looking at. John chapter 10. Is where we will be. So I must admit, I had a difficult time praying this morning. You ever been there? We're sitting out here and it starts sprinkling. Okay, but we need the rain, right? We need the rain. Rain's a blessing from God, and yeah, but I want to rain now because this is really nice, and we're able to sit out here and just enjoy it. So if you've ever been there, that was this morning. I was wrestling with one of those same things too. So about 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago, because we would have done this in June, we talked about the church. We talked about the name specifically. And you were all given a paper like this. It probably doesn't exist anymore. I can't believe I found some in my office. Or we talked about the name of the church being Thrive and what that meant based on John 10 and verse 10. And so I wanted to revisit that since we're out here and we just get to relax and sit down and talk together, to just revisit that. And to do that, I wanted to look at the whole chapter. Because this is my problem with John 10:10. It's a beautiful verse. It's an awesome verse. It is so misused. In fact, it's so misused, most people just like skip over it. Let's not talk about that verse because it gets misused. And if you take it out of context, absolutely, you can make it say anything you want out of context. And I've told you that time and time again. When you're reading scripture, you got to know where it's at, what it's talking about. Because if you don't, you make the Bible say all sorts of things the Bible really doesn't say. God never intended, God never said. But boy, if you pick and choose and you kind of pull stuff out, you can create all kinds of things. So it's really important we understand what he's talking about, what Jesus is saying in John 10, so that when we arrive at verse 10, we're like, oh. Now, I'm going to give you a couple hints this morning. We talked about this because the men now for men's breakfast, first Saturday of every month, we are starting in the book of John. And we are looking specifically, if you have one of these editions of the Bible that will give you red letters, we're looking at all the red letters. So we started off in John chapter 1, and we will go all the way through. John was probably the youngest of all the followers of Jesus, the youngest of all the disciples. He had done what all the others had done. He had flunked out. He didn't make it to being a rabbi like all the others wanted. They all wanted. That was like the highest honor, is to be a rabbi. And so you need to know that everyone Jesus chose in that culture would have wanted that and failed. And so they went home. And they went home to do what? To learn the trade of their father. And that's why you even find some of them with their father when Jesus encounters them. John was one of them. He was sent home to learn from his dad. But on top of that, he also heard about this guy named John the Baptizer, or we call him John the Baptist. And he became a follower of his. And when Jesus comes on the scene and John says, right there, see that guy? That's the Lamb of God. He begins to follow Jesus and ultimately gets called by Jesus, where Jesus says, well, follow me. Come and see what's going on. And so John writes last. And you have to know why John writes. It's really important because we have a lot of misconception in our world about our scripture, about the Bible. John tells us in John chapter 20 and verse number 31, he tells us, I've written these things are recorded, that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he's the Messiah, and that by believing, you would have life in his name. That's far different than most people think. Yeah, he didn't write. These are recorded so you know exactly how to act, exactly how to behave, and if you don't, God will strike you dead. That's what I think most people think when they think of scripture. And that's not what John says at all. No, these are written that you would have life, that you would believe in his name and have life. And so all through John, I'll just give you another hint. You will see three things, and sometimes they appear together, sometimes they appear separately, and that is way, truth, life. Now, they all come together in John 14:6, where Jesus declares that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you'll find it kind of intersecting different places. And you can look for way, truth, life. So this is what I want you to do this morning. As I'm reading down through this scripture, listen for way, truth, life. Because you're going to find them here as we're going through this passage. So follow along as I read this through this morning. I tell you the solemn truth.
The one who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens the door for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own sheep out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger's voice, but will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus told them this parable, but they did not understand what he was saying. So Jesus said again, I tell you the solemn truth, I am the door for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it abundantly. Did you see it as I read through that? The way, truth, and life. The way, he finally just says, when they're like, what are you talking about? Okay, what are you talking about? I'm the door, okay? I'm the door. There's only one entrance. It's me. And everybody's invited. And everybody's included. It doesn't matter. You are not left out for any reason you might think. Anybody's invited. It is the most exclusive, inclusive invitation ever, okay? It's me, but everybody's invited. Okay, don't try to go another way. Don't try to climb over the wall. Don't try to come in a back door. It is through me. And that was the way they would divide sheep in those days. And sometimes they would have all the sheep together. And how did the sheep know what to do? Well, that's this idea of truth. And that is the voice of the shepherd. Now, we do things far different in our Western world. Okay, you don't see following by voice. That probably takes too long. Okay. We want to get on a four-wheeler and shove the sheep, okay? We're going to push the sheep. And our problem is that becomes our picture of Jesus. That's what we think Jesus is interested in doing in my life, just pushing me and shoving me and getting me to go in some direction he wants to, and I got no free will, and I can't do anything, and I'm just shoved. It's not that way. In fact, Jesus invites us something different. Listen to my voice and follow me. Just follow me. Listen to my voice. His voice is what? His word. That's where we get his voice. And that's where he speaks. And he says, follow me. Just follow. I'm not shoving you. I'm not pushing you. I want you. And I'm just going to encourage you. Come on. Follow me. Follow me. Most of our problem is, as Jesus said, there are other voices. And if you don't know the voice of Jesus, then you're going to be led astray. You're going to go some other way going, well, I thought it was right. I thought it was good. I thought I was going in the right direction. What happened? You heard someone else's voice, and you got led in the wrong direction. That's why it's so important. I tell you all the time, open Scripture. Open Scripture, because if you open Scripture and you know what Scripture says, it will help you to discern better what you're hearing around you, what people are saying, and you'll be able to go, oh, no, that's not right. That might sound good a little bit, but that's not right. And you'll be able to know the voice of Jesus, who is calling his sheep and urging us to follow him. It's absolutely a beautiful picture where he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. We didn't include this, but later on he says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. There is no life apart from Christ. There is no life. And he talks about life also as well in verse number 10. That's where it's so important to understand in context. In context, what's he talking about? He's talking about sheep. He's talking about listening to his voice. He's not talking all of a sudden, oh, hey, you're going to have life abundance, and you're going to get all this stuff, and you're going to drive, you know, Ferraris and Lamborghinis and all this stuff that a lot of people are pushing. In fact, latest poll they did said 76% of people who go to church, just people who go to church, think the only reason to give is so that God will give them things and more back. That's terrible. That's terrible. That means we're not hearing his voice. That's not our motivation. I hope you understand that. It's not our motivation to give. It's not so God, oh, I'm giving now, so God's going to give me a bunch back. Because that's what he's promised to do. God has promised his blessing, that he is going to bless us. We do not tie that to, now, well, I'm going to give so I can do that. Nope.
And we've tied this John 10:10 so much to this false gospel thinking that God's just going to give me everything I want in this life. So can I correct some things this morning and make sure you all understand why we call ourselves Thrive Church, what this idea about thriving is all about. And we just, this is just a good moment to have some clarity together and just be reminded of these things, because we all forget. So I've kind of put these down for us so that we can just see them together, so you can see it. In case you don't hear every word that I say, you can just read this in front of you. What is thrive? It is a constant process of growth where something is always moving towards flourishing. When we confuse, this is really important, the spiritual realm and the physical realm, we miss what flourishing means. Oh, flourishing. That's where my bank account always just keeps growing, right? Isn't that what you mean? And my car always gets better. It never breaks down, right? Everything works out perfect. That's our problem. Our problem is we have tied the concept of flourishing to physical realm only. And we want more stuff. We want more things. And we haven't tied it to the spiritual realm where God pours out incredible blessings on our life. And we get to walk with the creator of the earth. And we get to pray, and we get to spend time with him, and we get to connect with him. We miss all of that if we're just pursuing somehow some physical gain by following Christ. Paul said what? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He actually just flipped what many people think totally around. It's not. We have to think differently. Instead of this physical realm, I want more stuff. God bless me. Give me all this stuff. I want to drive a big fancy car like everybody else does. And I want all this money. And I want all this. What have we thought about spiritual realm blessings that Jesus has given to us? Because he died in our place and rose again for our salvation. That we are incredibly blessed. We are blessed people. And that does not go by how much is in your bank account. And whether or not you've been sick this week, and whether or not you've got a surgery coming up, that does not tie that God loves you and has blessed you with many things in Jesus. So I want you to understand that. When we talk about thriving, that's what we want for people. What's what we want? We want to see that health come spiritually in every part of their life. That's what we desire, and that's what we want for people. So that's what we called it, this constant process of growth, that we would see that happen. Number two, I've said this before. I've said this probably several times. But we are a church for what? The nuns, the duns, and the undones. Now, please, can I just beg you? You don't have to go up to people on the square and say, are you a nun, dun, or none done? I want to know. Right? In your conversations, you're sitting having coffee. Somebody walks in the coffee shop. Hey, wait a minute. Can you answer a question? Are you a nun? Don't do that. That's not what we mean. We mean that there are people that God is faithful to intersect into our life. And those people, sometimes they have no faith at all. They have no faith at all. They don't know what it means to trust Jesus. They are totally devoid. I cannot believe, okay, people used to have a general knowledge about church, about Jesus. Whatever you thought people had a general knowledge of is not there anymore. It's quite stunning. It's quite stunning. They actually believe the opposite. They actually believe Christianity is kind of bad, kind of negative. I kind of stay away from that. That's our world. That's our culture. So we're going to have people who are nuns. They didn't grow up. They haven't been to church. They might have been to church if a funeral was held there and they had to go there. Maybe a wedding, but for the most part, they haven't been in church. They've never been to church. There's no concept of faith, who is Jesus in their life. You're going to intersect these people. God will put these people in your path if you will just ask him to. He would love to do that. And just intersect your life with these people. You don't have to go looking for them. I'm telling you, God is faithful to intersect our life. Probably some of the people you work with are nuns. Are some of the people that walk in that you have kind of acquaintance with. Maybe your mechanic is a nun, okay? Doesn't have any faith at all. And God's just faithful to just intersect our lives with them. The duns. What are the duns? The duns are, they have followed Jesus. They've been in church.
and they've quit. Now, I want to be really careful, because there's two types of duns. There's people who've quit church. They've been so hurt. They've seen such things happen. They're just done. They're just done. So they're done with church. They still would like to walk with Jesus. They're still trying to have faith all by themselves. That's what they are trying to do, have this idea of faith all by themselves, but they're struggling, and so they might be done that way. Some of them are just done. I'm done with the faith. There's this whole new thing called deconstructionism, where people are just leaving. I quit. I'm done. This whole Christianity thing. So there's two parts of duns. You're going to run into people and go, yeah, I've been to church. I tried that. I was in it for a while, but I can't. I left. This happened. This took place. This person said this. And I'm telling you, I cannot believe how many of those I have seen in our own church that God has faithfully brought in, who were just like that, who just experienced some rough things that happened, and they have some stories, and we've been blessed that they've come in for healing because they desire to follow Jesus. They just struggle with the church because of things that have happened. Because at times, we get things wrong. I don't know if you know that or not. At times, we get things wrong. We can get things wrong. When we stop following Jesus, we get things wrong. And we can get things wrong. And churches quite often can be power struggles where people are not desiring what does God want. It's what I want. I got my seat of power, and I'm going to hold on to my power as long as I can. And you see this all over the place. And we fight against that and try to make sure that never happens here. But it can. And we've got to constantly pray that God wouldn't let that happen here. But there are some people who are that way. They're done because of their experience. They're done. Sometimes they're even done with their faith. And you get a chance to intersect into their life. What are the undones? When we talk about undone, we talk about life circumstances that just went haywire on them. Okay, they had something tragic happen to them that caused them at times, they're homeless, they've dealt with unbelievable medical problems, and the undones have just, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do because they're so overwhelmed by what's happening in their life. And sometimes God intersects those people into our lives, and we look for ways to help them. And what can we do for them? And how can we pray for them? And sometimes there's things we can do to meet physical needs in their lives. The nuns, the duns, and the undones. You don't have to ask people. I am telling you, God is faithful to put people in our path. And whether you know it or not, for the past 4 years, he has been doing that in our church. And you might not know that. That's why connection's really good and learning other stories are really good. Because if you would do that, and you would get to the point where somebody feels comfortable to share their story with you, you know what you'd find? Oh, they're one of those. They came to our church. Isn't that awesome? How do I encourage? How do I pray for them? How am I there with them? That's what you would find, because that's what I found. That's what I found. And so that's why a day like this is so important, because it gives us a chance to sit down together and to be there together and just connect with one another and see what God's able to do in just the conversations we're able to have. Number three, we want the best for our city. So I'm going to give you a verse from Jeremiah that I'm telling you the specific context is they are going to Babylon. Okay, they weren't happy going to Babylon. Okay, nobody was throwing a party. Yay, we get to go to Babylon. It was terrible. Why do we have to go to Babylon? But they were going to Babylon. They were exiles, okay? This was the way God was going to deal with all the sin that took place, all the idolatry that took place. We're going to deal with it. And you're going to Babylon. So they weren't happy. Here's what Jeremiah tells them. And I put a word in quotation because if you don't know the word, you're going to think, well, what are they after? Work to see that the city where I sent you as exiles enjoys peace and prosperity. That's the word shalom. Pray to the Lord for it, for as it prospers, as it shaloms, you will shalom. Isn't that fascinating? What if we took that concept and looked at our own city in which we live? that we would pray and work for the shalom, the completeness, the wholeness of God for our city. That's what it means. That's what they were there to do. They weren't there to make sure that Babylon got more money. They weren't there to make sure that it prospered and it became the world power at that time. That's not why they went there. They went there to bring what Babylon didn't have, and that is shalom, the peace of God. They didn't have it. Nebuchadnezzar had all sorts of things. At one point, he sets up an idol to himself and tells them to worship it because he doesn't know where this idea of peace and shalom comes from. Do you understand that? We're supposed to do that for our city. We're supposed to pray for the completeness and the wholeness of our city, and we are to, when we have opportunities, work for the shalom, the completeness and wholeness of our city. Because without the people of God, it is the same thing. They're just going to go to whatever it is they're going to go to, whatever default they're going to have. We're a good city because we cut your taxes. Yeah, but how are we doing seeing people live well? How are we doing with that? And how can we work and bring the shalom to our city? So we should be praying for its shalom, its completeness and its wholeness, and we should be working for its shalom, its completeness and wholeness. And some of you have found yourself in positions where you've been able to do that. And I just want to know, I appreciate your work. Because whether you have understood it or not, that's what you're doing. You're actually working for the shalom of our city that we get to be a part of and find ourselves in. Last part. Last thing I want to talk about today. To thrive. And I'm going to talk very individual right now. We have to confess the areas we are just surviving in. Now, this is no fun. Nobody likes this part. Oh, I like when you talk about other things. Now it's getting personal. Yes. Jesus does not want us to merely survive. I hope you understand that. That's not why he saved you. That's not why he redeemed you. Is to save you and then say, oh yeah, go live like everybody else. Let's go chase everything else. And there are areas in our life where we are not thriving. We're not doing well. We're just getting by. He gave us far too much for us to settle for that. And so those are areas, confess. I'm struggling. I don't know why that's so hard, but it's hard, right? It's hard. For some reason, it's hard. Just to say, I'm struggling. I'm having difficulty. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's in our homes. Sometimes it has to do with our spouse, and sometimes it has to do with our kids, and sometimes it has to do with the school, and there's all sorts of different areas we're struggling in. We struggle at work, because gosh, I wish a different position, a different job might just fix it all, and we're just surviving. The problem with surviving is it's not a very good testimony of God's goodness in our life. It just isn't. It just isn't. Paul got to points where he could just do that. I'm just surviving. I'm just getting by. Show me that epistle. Could someone show me that epistle? In Philippians, he's in jail. And he's writing, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And you read that and you're like, what the world? Because he refused to let circumstances dictate to him his life. And just decided, nope. I refuse to just get by, to just survive. God has me here for a purpose and a reason, and I am just going to grow and survive and thrive where he's placed me and where he's put me. That might be the hardest part of all this. It's easy to talk about the city. It's easy to talk about people. We'd love to see God reach through us. That's why we do what we do. Boy, it comes individual, and then we're like, I don't know. Man, the first thing you ought to do, and this is why we just want you to connect with each other. Just tell someone else, hey, can you pray for me? I'm struggling. Now, I know we don't have our prayer team today. I told Kim, don't schedule it. We're in the park. But there's plenty of people around here who are on the prayer team. You can come find me. Start with that. You can be totally generic. Okay? Be as generic as you want. I'm just struggling. Just say you're struggling. Okay? And let somebody pray for you. so that you begin the process of moving out of that into your life because of what God wants to do in and through you. It's not the life he has for you. He has so much better for us than just getting by, just surviving, just making it through another day, trudging through. He's got something so much better for us than that. That's the whole concept of thrive. See, it's so much bigger than, well, that's just, Ed just picked a cool name. No, I really didn't. I love John 10:10, and I so wanted to recapture that. And I was so glad Jesus allowed us to recapture that. That whole idea that he has so much more for us in our lives than just getting by. But when we talk about thrive, when you see that name on things, I want you to know that there are none-dones and undones all around you, that God's going to give you opportunity to intersect in your life. Pray for them. Help them out ever you can. If you have an opportunity to bring them with you to church, awesome. Pray and work for the shalom of our city. Because as it goes, it only helps us. It only helps us as it prospers, it shaloms, as it sees completeness. That only enhances everything we want to do as well. And then confess the areas of your life that you would say, I'm struggling. Nah, that's not a thrive area for me. That's a hardship right now. That's an area I'm just not doing very well in. And just admit that. I want you, when you see that name, know that this is a safe place to say, I'm struggling. Okay? Let me tell you what's not going to happen. Okay? If you call me up, Pastor, I'm struggling. And we talk about what's going on in your life. Okay? Well, next Sunday, you're going to get up and confess that to everybody. No, that's not what we do. We help you see what God wants to do. See healing happen in your life. Forgiveness happen in your life. That's what we want. But as long as we just hold everything in, like, I don't know if I can, then you're not going to get any better. You're not going to see forgiveness come. You're not going to see the healing that God desires to bring into your life. So let me pray for us this morning. And then our team's going to come back up and sing one more song. And we're just going to enjoy then the time of connection and fellowship together that we have today on this beautiful day. Absolutely beautiful. Let's pray. Father, I would pray today that people have not just heard me, they have heard your word. That whatever was thought of when they saw the word thrive, today they think differently. And so Jesus, this morning, we want to pray specifically into those areas. Jesus, open our eyes. The nones, dones, and undones are all around us. We have to go asking people or looking for people. It's about just hearing someone's story. And we would be amazed. It's our coworker. It's our neighbor. Wow. Father, this morning, standing in a city park, we pray for the shalom of Indianola. We pray for its completeness and its wholeness. And as you give us opportunity, Father, please remind us to pray for our city. And then we ask you to remind us to work for it, where we have opportunity, where we have an opening that we can help out in. Would you help us to work for the shalom of our city? And then, Father, would you turn us inward for just a moment? Holy Spirit, you love to show us where we're off. Not to strike us with it, but to bring us back to a place of flourishing. And so we ask just that. Would you bring us back to a place of flourishing today? By confessing, by repenting, by returning to you. And so, Jesus, now would you help us to have the courage to admit that we're struggling and find the help and encouragement we need. So this last song, Jesus, we offer as just a prayer, as a worship, being outside in a beautiful place. Great are you, Lord. And we want to declare that here and over our city and in our lives, that we would just marvel and just be in awe of your greatness. We thank you, Jesus. Work in our hearts and lives. In your name, amen.